and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And let us not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves." But he replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word comes from the mouth of God." The devil then took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For scripture says, he will put you in his angels' charge, and they will support you on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Scripture also says, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Next, taking him to a very high mountain, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "I will give you all these," he said, "if you fall at my feet and worship me." Then Jesus replied, "Be off, Satan, for scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then the devil left him, and angels appeared and looked after him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes the church feels it necessary to represent evil positively, as in the image of Satan in the Gospel today. But we know that at its heart, evil is not a positive thing at all, but a derogation from what's positive. It's a negative value, even in a human person, lack of love, lack of truthfulness, lack of honesty. Someone on the retreat, which the university students are having at Mount St. Vernon's this weekend, was asking yesterday, does God see evil? I think that's a very important question, because we think when we feel guilty that we come before God blood red and dripping with positive sin. And this student caught on to the thought that perhaps God sees nothing where there is sin except poverty, lack of life. As it were, looking at a leaf which has almost rotted away, and only the filament is left. And that would account for God's infinite compassion for evil, because he sees it as the simple abandonment of life, an absence of goodness, an absence of gifts. But Jesus now has to come to look on evil as evil, to see it as a positive choice which he could make and embody in his life. We know that if he chose once to embody evil in his life, he would cease to be the Son of God, who comes down to earth to take our flesh and to be God for us, God with us. So this temptation is a very basic one. Satan doesn't mess about with the Son of God. He goes straight to the heart. Stop being what you are. Be what the rest of the human race is. Make it with them on their terms. Build an empire for yourself of human realities. And so, in his hunger, Jesus goes into the desert to depend on God and to be faithful. And Satan comes into the desert to take him away from his faithfulness and make him a creature of the earth. Immediately, we can remember others who went into the desert, the forefathers of Jesus, led by Moses, who went into the desert with no food to depend on God. And the first thing they did after the drama of the Red Sea was to realize the emptiness into which they'd gone, to realize the dependence in all its horror. They didn't know where their next meal would come from. And so Moses looked down on a community weeping at the door of its tents and saying, in Egypt we had melons and fish. Egypt, the land of garlic and cucumbers. Egypt, Egypt, take us back to Egypt. Why did you ever bring us away? Forgetting the slavery, forgetting the making bricks without straw. Their hunger takes them over. And for a moment, it seems that Israel will die and go back to its slavery. And the devil says to Jesus, turn these stones into your bread. Break your fast. Go back to the slavery of the earth. Jesus quotes very properly from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the book where Moses, the last of the people who came out of Egypt, says goodbye to the first to enter the promised land. And he reminds them of what experience they've had in the desert. He says, the Lord fed you with manna from heaven, which neither you nor your fathers have known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is being faithful like Moses. And we only remember, Moses is Matthew's model for Jesus. Jesus on the mountain giving a new law. Jesus threatened by an evil king. Jesus who came out of Egypt. The devil realizes that Jesus is quoting the scripture to him. And he starts to enter the lists. The devil quoting the word of God. and he takes him to the temple. This is the hardest of the temptations to explain. There is a very obscure moment in the wilderness when people think they're going to run out of water, and they lose faith in God and complain against Moses. And this is called the waters of division, or waters of testing, or waters of Meribah. It's very loosely described in the scripture, but it's always referred to afterwards as the moment when Israel put God to the test. And Jesus is offered, is it a stunt to impress the crowds in the temple? Or is it for himself that he will test the promise of God to see if God will, in fact, protect him, to make a test of the Father's care for him? He resists the temptation, even though so apposite a quote comes to him from Psalm 90, with another sentence from Deuteronomy, "Shall not the Lord your God test?" And then the devil takes him to the top of the mountain and shows him in one instant of time all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor. This isn't a straight appeal to greed. You can want power in the world for good motives, but as soon as you take up the power of the world, you're compromised. And the Son of God could not win the world in that way. It would not be God's way, but man's. And this passes the deepest of the temptations, to respond to the human and not to the divine, to make the needs of people your lodestar instead of the will of God. Oddly enough, this temptation is the temptation to Marxism, dialectical materialism, which started out as a well-intentioned aim of putting people's physical problems right. And Jesus looks at it with the devil. And the devil is terribly honest. He says, "I'll give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me." And that's something that the Russians took 80 years to learn. But to try to save the world through its wealth and power ends up in the worship of emptiness and nothingness, spiritual starvation. And Jesus knows that that is not going to be the way. "You must worship the Lord your God," he says, "and serve him alone." Sounds austere and total, and it is. I was thinking the last temptation of the cross. When Luke writes the story of the cross, he puts in a kind of very sophisticated twist to the knife. Mark and Matthew have the leaders come and stand in front of Jesus and say, "If you are the Son of God," which is the way the devil starts his temptations, "if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross so that we can believe in you." Jesus has to stay on the cross because it's the will of God. And then the man who is crucified with him turns to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself and me as well." And Jesus has never refused to respond when people have come to him with their suffering. And this suffering is Jesus' suffering too. It's the temptation to go to the human, to lose God. See how sophisticated a temptation it is. How the temptation which we all have as well, to leave God on one side, to go to the need of our neighbour. The greatest of the commandments is this: to love your neighbour, and then if you've got any time there, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. It won't work that way. The first commandment is to love God. And only in that way will our love bear this salvation to the lives of others. And Jesus knows if he is to be the Saviour, it will be by being the Son of God. Be by being obedient, Son of God, who puts the will of his Father first. And then, having defeated the devil, comes out into the world with the gospel of their salvation. Let us proclaim our faith. We believe in one another. Glory to you.